Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter, the remarkable central Christian story that Jesus of Nazareth lived and taught and loved and healed people, and that religious leaders and political powers were so upset by his teaching and work that they conspired to kill him. He was crucified and buried, and then his followers discovered him alive, resurrected and among them. At first, the risen Christ shows up in the tomb near the garden. The scripture that we read today says that some of his friends were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus showed up there on the dusty road. Another part of the scripture says that Jesus showed up on the shore at the Sea of Galilee and had fish for breakfast. Another writer says that he showed up in the upper room where the disciples were hiding. The door was locked and he just walked through it. Those are strange, fantastic stories, Jesus showing up. And we may scratch our heads or giggle at the details, but at the core, these stories are the heart of the Easter message. And that is that God is with us. Wherever we find ourselves, God is with us. And we do a great job of forgetting that. Even at church, we often forget that God is with us. We think we are on our own. We think we have to rely on our own smarts or ability. We think we have to do things all by ourselves. The early Christian church saw in Jesus their pathway to God. Jesus was their connection to the holy. Jesus was the window that opened to the justice and peace of the divine. God, for the most part, for most people, had been local. God lived in heaven, or maybe God lived in the temple in Jerusalem, or occasionally there was a burning bush or an earthquake and God was there. But for the most part, God was localized, identifiable. And even in the person of Jesus, the pre-Easter person of Jesus, God was local. The disciples could see God in the flesh and face and grace of Jesus. And then he was killed, dead, buried. And before too long, something began to happen. Jesus, this God connector, this holy energy source, this divine pathway, began to show up everywhere. In a garden, on a road, at the lake, in a room, wherever people were, Jesus was. John Shelby Spong, the retired and very thoughtful Episcopal bishop, talked about it this way. He said, "Skeptics might well call that mass hallucination, because they regard anything that is not objective or does not occur in space and time as unreal. Yet the reality in this shift in consciousness was measurable, undeniable, and quite easy to document. The meaning of God was forever altered because Jesus, by the sheer force of his being, had imprinted his humanity onto the definition of divine. The external God had been discovered at the heart of the human. God was now experienced through the filter of Jesus. Resurrection was an event of inner history at the levels of consciousness where fundamental shifts occur. The disciples, who had localized the God experience in Jesus, found in his death that this God experience was no longer localized. The presence of the holy they had found in Jesus, they now discovered in themselves. It was as if they saw that what it was that they had met in Jesus had now taken up residence in their own lives and hearts. God is with us. Those are words we hear in the Christmas story, but words that come to fruition in the Easter story. God is with us. in this place in our lives. As I've thought about our church in the coming days, I have realized that there are many, 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 many exciting and interesting and even complicated things taking place in our church life. This morning, I want to briefly mention five of them, and five church members have offered to help me with this sermon by voicing prayers for those five areas of our church life as a way for us to remember that God is with us. First, the various social justice marches. You have seen those described in the bulletin. We have a number of people who are taking part in different marches, and our Social Justice and Action Board has worked really hard to offer our church as a place for out-of-town groups to spend the night. Those marches are one way for people to say, I care about the people around me and I care about the world, but sometimes, especially in that type of political work, it's easy to think that we're all alone and that we have to do that work by ourselves. But God is with us. When we're marching, when we're working for social justice, when we're supporting compassionate public policy. And so, this morning, I want us to pause and pray for those various marches. Melissa Herman is a member of our Social Justice and Action Board. And so, as we remember the science march that took place yesterday, and the climate march, the immigrants march, and the LGBTQ pride march in June, Melissa will offer a prayer for us. But first, she will pull out the step stool so that we can see her.
Let us pray. Dear God, please stand with us as we rise up to promote racial, scientific, and environmental justice, to protect our vulnerable immigrant families, and to ensure full recognition of our brothers and sisters in the gay and trans community. Please walk with us and give us the strength and determination to hold fast when we face those who do not share our vision. Help us to remain dedicated and steadfast, yet always mindful of the troubles and challenges that might lie ahead. Please grant us both the courage and fortitude needed to march on and on and on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Melissa. Second, music. Next Sunday, we're having our choir for a day, which means that all of you who love to sing, even those of you who are not regular members of the choir, even if you can't sing, are invited to join the choir for a day. Looking ahead on June the 4th, our choir will present their final concert for the year, a concert to raise money for Bethesda Cares. But it's not just about making music. I think our choir and our other musicians approach music as a way of offering beauty to a world in need of beauty. And they use their talents to do good in the world. And so while our choir has the day off and we thank our guest musicians, we also want to pause and pray for music. So Janet Hoffmeister, who is one of our Bell Choir directors and is a member of the choir and is a super talented pianist herself, will offer a prayer reminding us that God is in our music.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the gift of music, the universal language of the soul. Our lives would be so gray without the colors music brings to them. From the impulses of rhythm, the beauty of melody, the complexity and texture of harmony, we are moved to experience the scope of human emotions. Thank you for the men and women who have composed music we continue to appreciate. Bach and others inscribe their compositions, Solo Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Thank you for the gifted musicians who have served our church community in the past, and for those among us now. We value their talent, hard work, and dedication. They help us experience the breadth and power of music. Thank you for the opportunities within our church to join together musically, the chancel choir, the festival choir, the children's choir, the handbell groups. May we not hesitate to take part in these and be enriched. Listening to wonderful performances is inspiring and uplifting, but most transcendent is when we join together to make music. Let us continue to lift our voices in song as we worship you. Amen.
Now, some of you might think that during that prayer, Barbara accidentally played a note on the organ, but I think that was just the organ itself trying to speak its voice for the prayer. So thank you to the organ for that. Next, our building. We're having this congregational meeting after the service to talk about loans and fundraising and dates and plans, and this is all a complicated mess, and here's what I can promise you. It will only get more complicated. If you've ever renovated your kitchen or just tried to repair a leaking toilet, it is not easy, right? And so this is going to be a giant mess. We just need to know that now. And I also know that this makes some of you very, very nervous to think about spending money or taking out loans or figuring out construction plans. I know there is a great deal of anxiety around that. Here's what I can tell you. It will be okay. I don't know what okay looks like. I have no idea what okay looks like. But it will be okay. And so as we think about the twists and turns and possibilities of our construction project, let me invite JoJo Shelton forward. She is the chair of our capital campaign committee. That committee, along with our Building 2020 team, headed by David Bennett, have been and are doing great, great work. And so we thank them and ask JoJo to pray for us.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving this growing spiritual community a physical place where we can all come together and welcome newcomers and visitors to join us. We appreciate the groundwork that was laid in past years and decades to address the physical accessibility challenges of our church building. We want all people to feel welcomed and comfortable in our physical spaces, from entering the building and moving up and down floors, to cooking meals for others, and having a flexible kids space and gender-neutral facilities. We acknowledge how close we are to making this a reality, mess and all. We are so very grateful for the generous families who have already stepped forward to commit to seeing this through. Together we give thanks that as a community with resources, we can come together and make our church more accessible and welcoming for years to come. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. The next aspect of our church life where God is with us is in our personnel changes. You know that Alexis Kassam is ending her work here as our associate minister on June the 18th. You'll see in the bulletin that two of our church members have agreed to take on Alexis's role, split into two parts. Pat Nelson will be our director for children's spiritual formation, working part-time for a year beginning this summer. And Adam Barth, who is ending his internship with us as a seminary student, will take on a role as a part-time director of youth spiritual formation for the next year. And so we thank Alexis for her time. We'll have a party for her in the coming weeks and other ways to honor her, but we want to support and encourage Pat and Adam as they begin that work. The other thing you need to know is that Mimi Miller, our administrator, is retiring in mid-July. And so Janet Moyer and I are just going to sit around and cry, mainly. So Gary Walbridge will lead a prayer for us. Gary is our moderator for the year, has been working closely with our personnel committee. But feel free to come by and pat Janet and me on the back as well, as we thank these other people for these changes. Gary?
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for calling such talented, hardworking, and caring individuals to bring their hearts and minds to their employment here at Westmoreland. We've been very fortunate in the past and will remain fortunate in the future as changes to the staff take place. Lord, as we recognize that change is not easy, please help us to focus on the opportunity and the promise and the new beginnings involved in change, rather than the fear, the perception that something is ending and any discomfort. Please, Lord, grant us courage, connection with one another, and a heart to pursue the changes ahead. In thy name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Gary. And our children, you got to hear the names of the children who were gathered for our church, for our time for children this morning. On May the 7th, our children and youth will be presenting their musical. You'll want to be here for that. You'll see a word in the bulletin that Peace Camp plans are unfolding, our annual summer adventure for children. The Board of Spiritual Formation is working to put that together. We have our ongoing church school, of course, our mission trip for our high school and middle school kids this summer. There are three baptisms of little ones coming up in the next 2 months. Our confirmation kids will celebrate their confirmations later in June. Our high school graduates will be honored one Sunday. To see these kids, to see our teenagers and our younger children think and learn and understand something of who they are in God's world, and to see them develop community with each other is one of the real joys of my life. And I think you share that with me. And so let me ask Abby Bronson to come and pray for us. Abby is a member of our Board of Spiritual Formation. She's the mother of Theodore, our applauding acolyte for the morning. She will offer a prayer for our children.
Please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for our pack of vibrant, boisterous, and inquisitive Westmoreland children, who make us laugh and reflect during children's time, who amaze us with their musical and dramatic talents during the children's musical, who energize us and maybe fatigue us a little, just a little, at the retreat each fall, who every day remind us of this thing called the journey of life and how joyous and hard it can be at times for us, for them, for all children. Help us as a community to nurture and support our children so they have the skills to grow and prosper. Help us to teach them compassion and honesty and perseverance and gratitude and patience and love so they can overcome the twists and tangles that life throws their way. And give them the courage to stand up for what is right and what they believe in, even if that is sometimes hard. And as parents in a community, give us the strength and grace to stand by them when they make their mistakes, be proud of them when they right a wrong, praise them for their successes, celebrate when the moment calls, and love them unconditionally. And one final thought, may our children of Westmoreland continue to believe in Miriam Mouse, her spirit, her being, her truth, for it's the power of belief that makes everything possible. This is my prayer for the children of Westmoreland. Amen.
Amen to that, Abby. It's the rare prayer that gets applause. There are other things taking place in the life of our church, of course, so many other things. An autism forum next Sunday, a refugee dinner, our Knit for Others group. All of these are ways that we are the church together. And God is with us in the middle of all of these things. There's that great exchange in the scripture passage we read. Those folks are walking along the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears and basically says, "What's up, people?" And they say, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place?" Jesus asks them, "What things?" And they reply, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus is in our things. I was so happy to run across this picture, thanks to Google Images. This guy in Hollywood a few years ago would dress up in sort of the stereotypical Jesus garb and just walk around. I think a picture of Jesus walking by an advertisement for a chicken nuggets combo campaign is one of the most realistic portrayals of faith that I can imagine. Jesus is in all of our things. That is the promise of Easter. God is with us. Thanks be to God.